The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show coming to you live from SEC Media Days, Hoover, Alabama. It is the Hyatt Winfrey. Day three, it's a Wednesday, and it is Nick Saban Day, and we're going to have him. We already talked to earlier, and actually all week, and already set up. He's going to be sitting down with us a little later in the afternoon. We've got so much to bring you throughout the day. Now, you know I'm in Birmingham, and I've been here. Live from me today, Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl, the recent Senior Bowl. We're going to talk to him. Also, Matt Corral, starting quarterback. Ole Miss Rebels. We have Kirby Smart, also head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. I was able to sit down with him yesterday. Now, again, this is the schedule. Like normally, you get a couple of coaches early, a couple of late, and if it's a later in the day, then it's the kind of thing we're going to bring it to you the next day because I might have been off air 5 hours when whoever walks through. So, again, Kirby Smart, talked to him yesterday afternoon. Going to bring that to you. Just a whole lot going on here. But it's not just here. It's also up the road, 85 North. Charlotte, North Carolina, at Yonder Weston. It is Dan Matthews. Daniel, how are you, brother?
Oh, very well. Things are good here. See, I've still got the new car smell on me in terms of us just getting started from here. You've already eaten a couple of bags of fast food, so that new car smell in Hoover for you has kind of gone away a little bit. But
things are good. I like mustard on the seat already.
Yeah, there's that, a stray French fry or two. It's okay. We'll get it detailed after this week. But, no, things are fast and furious here. We're good. As you mentioned, already having a chance to catch up with a couple of people, and we will have those on this show. As a matter of fact, here in the first hour, coming up next with Bronco Mendenhall.
Yeah, Bronco Mendenhall, De'Eric King, Manny Diaz, who I was able to sit down with a little bit earlier, via headsets from Charlotte. And so full coverage there. What is the vibe there? Because I got to tell you, I mean, apparently Dabo's there because I already saw the quote about playoff teams, and he doesn't think there's 12 good ones.
Yeah, I think that came yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. They did, like, Media Olympics in Clemson. So their day is going to be tomorrow with the Atlantic Division. And we're going to have Dabo on this show, so we'll have that. Yeah. And, of course, we are going to have the full contingent of FSU players and coaches. The one thing, though, that I thought was pretty interesting, Chuck, is the commissioner of the conference, Jim Phillips, the new commissioner, of course, addressing the media as all conference commissioners do before the start of kickoffs or media days, whatever you call it, and talking about he would be very regretful or sick to his stomach. I can't remember exactly the word that he said, but he kind of stopped short of the sharp words that Greg Sankey had about players and coaches testing positive or contact tracing at this point. But he did touch on that, college football playoff expansion. And also, too, I thought was really interesting, something we've talked about on the show, too, with the ACC is kind of like I said, when Greg Sankey took over the SEC, said, we got to get better at men's basketball. He said college football needs to be a priority, and together we need to be able to raise the level in this conference. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, when the SEC Network debuted, I mean, we know what it was about. I can still get the Texas A&M-Missouri basketball game in February, I suppose. It was about football, and my response was, gimme, gimme, gimme. I remember they debuted, they had that big thing in, I guess it was May of 14. You may have been there, Dan, down at the Hyatt downtown Atlanta where they brought in all the coaches. Basketball coach, football coaches, all that, to really kick off the SEC Network that debuted in August. I remember one of the questions was, how much is it going to cost? And they said in the footprint, it's like $1.50 a month. Outside the footprint, like in Anchorage, Alaska, you can get SEC Network for like 40 cents a month. I remember thinking the real answer is it doesn't matter what it's cost because we're all going to pay it. The fact that they've been giving me SEC Network for, like, I don't know, $20 a year, even with a price raise, but they can't get that with the ACC Network because even with the Heritage Basketball League that they are, we know what drives it economically, especially in the South, the deep South of the Atlantic Coast. And exactly right, man. They got to get to that cash cow because that is the divide, the divisive wedge that keeps going deeper and deeper between programs and the Big Ten. They got a license to print money with their boutique network. The SEC Network, license to print money with their boutique network. You got to catch up. You're going to be the Pac-12 get left behind. All right, Dan's live there in Charlotte. I'm here in Birmingham. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little more ACC. Bronco Mendenhall, head coach of the Wahoos. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
If you are of a certain age, you may remember the Southern satirist and author Louis Grizzard. One of my favorite sayings from his, he said, there are only two seasons in the South. There's football season and getting ready for football season. Well, I think this is actually the transition from getting ready to football season to, like, it's practically here. Chuck Oliver Show live from SEC Media Days, Birmingham, Alabama. Day three, going to be here tomorrow as well. Going to have Nick Saban coming up in just about an hour or so. Also, Dan Matthews up the road at the Westin in Charlotte. ACC football kickoff, and he was able to sit down with Bronco Mendenhall, head coach of the Virginia Wahoos. And actually, you know, nothing is unusual anymore, like, because, like, all barriers are down, and we've got things that were never done by coaches or programs before. And it used to get attention, like when Kevin Sumlin showed up with Trevor Knight at Media Days, a guy who had never played a game for the program. Well, bringing two quarterbacks to SEC Media Days or ACC, that's not unusual anymore either because it's happening in multiple places. Dan Matthews able to sit down with Bronco Mendenhall, head coach of Virginia.
Back here in Charlotte, ACC kickoff. It is Dan Matthews here and right now pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers. He is Bronco Mendenhall. Coach, appreciate your time. And, you know, the listeners didn't just get to hear the conversation me and you just had, but you had something that you talked about, and I'll go ahead and introduce it. You, of course, will explain it. Simple successes, something that's really intriguing.
The quick backstory is I showed up to the interview table here, and there was Clorox wipes, which no one else had provided yet. And so we were saying, this is the number one interview that I've had so far. You're in first place. And you said, yeah, I'll take it. You take any win that you can get, which then led to my comment of simple successes. And so cultures and achievement is based on simple successes. And a lot of people, when they frame their habits, they're thinking about, on my best day, what will I do? Habits are framed really best and sustained most when on my worst day, what will I do? And if you can frame it that way and acknowledge a simple success that you did something again, that actually propels you toward the bigger goal and simple successes. If they're not acknowledged, not recognized, and not celebrated, then habits aren't built. And so that's Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And that's really what football is, right?
It is.
I mean, because there are times where it's, hey, this is awesome, we won. Then there are times of, why am I doing this?
Oh, yeah. As there are in every part of life. And my passion is the development of young people through football, because it can mirror if you intentionally create it that way. And there is not an easy day. There are days that have more success than others, but life isn't easy. But if you can learn to really embrace the difficulty and the challenge and the growth that it promotes, and so much of that is someone else saying, I see you, meaning when you do something you hadn't done before, or when you just have a little bit more sparkle in your eye, or a little more bounce in your step, for someone else to acknowledge that simple success, you're more likely to keep going. And I try to surround myself and build a culture and an organization where those are the kind of people that are in it, where they're willing to acknowledge and notice someone else. And by the way, the chance to have a habit keep growing, two is more powerful than one. As soon as you add as one other person that's paying attention, like you and I are right now, yeah. Wait a second. I'm more likely now because someone else is paying attention.
Yeah, no, very true. Coach Bronco Mendenhall, Virginia Cavaliers, joining us here at ACC Kickoff. It kind of reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you're familiar, but the Football Coach's Bible, and there was a chapter in there about Bill Snyder when he took over at Kansas State, and it really kind of sounds the same way. As he said, not a lot of success around here, but you know what? I'm going to show these guys video clips of themselves anything to remind them, hey, you did some good today.
Totally.
Build off that and go.
It's way more powerful, and the research is so clear, to acknowledge successes and accomplishment prior or in place of criticism. There is feedback that has to be given, and we believe feedback is a gift in our program. But that's only at a minimum of a 3-to-1 ratio. That means 3 positives to 1 negative. The best marriages in the world, 6 positives to 1 negative in terms of communication. And so someone like Bill Snyder, who, if he saw that and recognized it and built it that way, most likely players are going to have a better experience because they're being acknowledged for what they're doing well, even if the outcome in the short term isn't what they hope for.
For you guys last year and now coming into this season, just the on the field, you know, kind of what me and you have just been talking about right there, adversity at the beginning of the season, 1-4 start, 4-1 finish.
Yeah.
What turned things around for you guys?
It was completely leadership. So I think we get what we designed for, and there's nothing other than my entire focus was to keep our team safe. That was a trade-off for cultural physicality, aggressiveness, and how we played the game. And once we started to keep score, I realized, wow, we are safe, and we're doing an amazing job with the protocols, but we're not playing the game. But that hadn't been my focus. And so that was completely by leadership. Did our best to self-correct mid-season, and I was grateful that the players responded. Thankful that I could see it and hopefully do something about it while we were still playing during a pandemic. But I learned a lot, and if we ever have a pandemic again, but I don't regret the care of the players being the primary focus. But what I do acknowledge is we did not play to the same level because my focus on the game wasn't the same as, and it was divided attention on the other, and it showed.
Yeah, tough times for sure during last season, and of course, you know, trying to build off that coming into this year. You talked about that leadership. A lot of seniors who could have said, hey, coach, you know, look, it's time for me to move on in life, NFL, or if that's going into the working world, they decide to come back. What does that mean?
Well, so there's a couple statistics that back that up. We have the least turnover on my coaching staff in college football, and there's only 2 programs that have fewer players that are gone into the portal, so no one's leaving. There's a reason for that. And when you have a healthy and vibrant culture that's aligned in this day and age where it's easier to leave than stay, that matters to me. And if we go back to simple successes, I'm not so sure that that doesn't matter most, that there's a valued experience with people they love and admire, but also they're getting developed for whatever their goals are. And so I'm thankful they're all back. I don't think that what the structure is done in terms of going back to 85 counters next year. That's forcing us now as coaches to then acknowledge, okay, we have other players that want to come back that can come back, or we choose a high school player to take their spot because everyone counts against the 85 now. I expected more than 1 year of relief against the 85 and quite frankly disillusioned by that decision. And now the moral dilemma of coaches, and it'll be fun for everyone to watch and your listeners. Our team's taking high school players and allowing their players that had another year to stay say, no, you can't stay? Or are they having their players stay and not bringing high school players? And what values and morals does that represent? And so that's getting ready to happen, and I don't think it's being talked about enough because everybody counts now. There are no super seniors after this year because everyone counts against the 85.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, tough decisions ahead for sure. Coach Bronco Mendenhall joining us here at ACC Kickoff. Just a couple quick ones for you before we head out here, and that is Keaton Thompson.
Yeah.
what does he mean to you guys? I mean, it's seriously, you know, you talk about utility players in baseball. He's a utility player in football.
He is, and first of all, I love who he is as a person. He came in as a quarterback, but then realized, man, there might be another place. And we asked him, there's other places you can contribute to this team in addition to quarterback. Taysom Hill was our first at Brigham Young University, and the Saints, they have a really unique campaign, and they ask him what position he plays, and he says football. We do the same with Keaton, and there are way more ways to add value than just playing quarterback. And he can contribute at running back, at receiver, at tight end, covering punts and kicks and possibly kicking the ball. I mean, he can do anything. And so that adds value, and it makes him feel needed and wanted, and it helps our team. And so it's a pretty cool experience.
Again, Coach Bronco Mendenhall here at ACC Kickoff. Coach, I can't get you out the door unless I ask you about October 30th at a place that really means a lot to you. That's going back to Provo and taking on BYU.
Yeah, I made a statement when I was leaving BYU. There was a press conference, and I was asked that already then, which was, I look back and I was like, wow, that's an amazing question at that time. But it was at the press conference I was leaving BYU, and I was asked, what about that game? And I said, I won't play that game. What I've realized in the meantime is I don't decide. There's a lot of other people that decide whether we play that game. When I coach at a place, I give way more than just I really try hard to give way more than just my leadership in the coaching position. I connect and I believe in that place. And yeah, I'm not anxious to play the game because it's I spent 13 years there. Mm-hmm. However, I'm now the coach at Virginia, and so I'll do my very best to help our team do the best they can in that environment.
Well, Coach, really appreciate your time today. Best of
My
luck
pleasure.
This season.
Thanks.
And really enjoyed it.
Okay.
That was Bronco Mendenhall, head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers, ACC Media Days with Dan Matthews, and he's right, that BYU game where he was for a decade and a half, October 30th at BYU. Now, what's up? This is for him more than maybe the Virginia players. Because that's where the emotion is. If you've got a junior offensive tackle out of Roanoke, where's the game? Well, it was, you know, Louisville earlier. It was North Carolina. Now it's Provo. That's just all. Tell me where the plane's headed. For Bronco, it will be different, absolutely. And leading before that and coming after it, this is very convenient for a guy who's going to have a lot more on his mind than just if it were any other opponent. Georgia Tech is a home game the week before that, and no disrespect, Georgia Tech is one of the more beatable targets, one of the more beatable opponents in the ACC currently. Then it's at BYU. Then it's bye week. Now, that's probably a good thing because coming off the bye week, it is Notre Dame at Pitt and Virginia Tech. So, and BYU, again, they're good, and Bronco knows exactly why. And you talk about, well, what's the individual scouting report on a day? I don't know if you really need that as much as the profile of the program. I learned this when Jim McMahon was throwing touchdown passes at BYU, and that goes back to 81, 82. I think he was in the 83 draft. That in a normal year, close to half the roster has gone on two-year missions. So you could have a team full of 23, 20, and then it doesn't count. Like normally you step foot on a college campus, the clock starts ticking. And you, in a normal situation, you have 5 years to complete 4 years of eligibility. That's always been what it is. And even if you get the pretend redshirt where you get to play for it, we still have 5 years to complete 4 years of on-field eligibility, at least as it is now. For certain programs that play Division I football, it's not the same. We don't have any graduate players at the military academy. It doesn't happen. We don't have any super seniors at the Naval Academy. It doesn't happen. Well, similarly, at BYU, you can show up, play, go on a mission, come back, your clock's been paused. So you may have a 23, 24, 25-year-old, and you know where that comes to roost? On the line of scrimmage. So that is going to be a difficult game just on its face, much less all the emotion of going to a place that you were at for, again, you, your family, whatever, for how many years. So that is going to be a big deal. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Again, live here in Birmingham, SEC Media Days 2021. Chuck Oliver Show. Be back right after this.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing day three of 2021 SEC Media Days live at the Hyatt Winfrey in Hoover, Alabama. And if you are familiar with the Yellowhammer State, you know where we are. We're about, I'm going to say, 15 minutes, 20 minutes south when you get into downtown Birmingham, and that's where Deion Sanders was yesterday. And it was past tense. That's where he was because he walked out. If you hadn't seen the story by now, Deion Sanders, head coach at Jackson State. Southwest Athletic Conference Media Days are being held in Birmingham at the Sheraton Birmingham. And Nick Suss, a guy we've had on, a reporter from the Clarion Ledger, we've had on before. I always thought he's a pretty responsible reporter. He asked a question. Deion, I want to ask you about your secondary recruiting. Jumped in. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion. If you call Nick Nick, you'll get cussed out on the spot, so don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick. He was called Deion a second time, and then he walked out. Now, I will say that even if there was a real reason that what he was claiming, you don't call Nick Nick, call me Deion, if that was spot on and it was a reasonable response, the only way it's an actual reasonable response is maybe – afterwards, you walk up to the guy and say, look, it's not a big deal, but just going forward, Coach Sanders, if that's what you are, Coach Prime or Neon Deion or Primetime or whatever it is you want. Here's the difference, though. Deion is Deion because that's who he is. That's who Deion Sanders has spent, I think, more than three decades making sure everybody knows he's Deion. And as far as Nick, I've never called Nick Saban Nick. I call him Coach and probably just leave it at that. And you know what? A lot of times I just kind of look in his direction and start speaking, and he knows it's me. But I've never called him Nick. Do you know why? Because Nick can be anyone. Deion's Deion. Do you know who else is? Dabo is Dabo. I've said that not with intent, just because there's only one Dabo and he's behind the microphone. Yesterday at this exact table, I called Kirby Kirby. If I see Jimbo, he sits down today. If I see him in the big room and I ask a question, if I see him across the floor, Jimbo! And you know what, Jimbo will turn around, and Jimbo has a national championship, by the way. Dabo has a national championship. Nick Saban has a national championship. If you're talking about – and I'm saying so Deion doesn't, so I don't have to respect him. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if a guy who's got one or two or seven national championships – doesn't have that line, it doesn't mean Deion doesn't get to pick his own line. But it just put into perspective that according to folks who have been in this industry and achieved and dealt with media and everything else, it's not a sign of disrespect because I don't think I disrespected Kirby yesterday. And I'm even referring to him as just Kirby. I want to welcome on again. We're going to head out to Charlotte, North Carolina, ACC Media Days up there. Dan, did the Deion Sanders kerfuffle make it up to Charlotte?
Yeah, it's up here. I mean, of course, the jokes are being made. And then I saw our good buddy Barrett Salee earlier today saying, I counted Nick being called Nick eight times during his press conference. And surprisingly enough, nobody got cussed out. So I guess Deion was wrong about that. And kind of like a conversation me and you have had before about watching film and how, you know, it's the ultimate truth teller. I guess I'll have to go back and listen to the tape of me with Coach Mendenhall, because I don't believe I called him Bronco. And even if I did, based off what we just heard from Coach Mendenhall, I don't think I would have gotten cussed out. I don't think.
And now here's the thing, though. If you would have done something in the moment worthy of being cussed out, I think Bronco would have leaned forward and tried to coach you out of that behavior.
Oh, yeah. No, very much. I mean, that's what he's talked about as well.
He wants to make you a better person and a better husband and a better father. I was talking about this, actually. I was on with, Dave Woloshin, our good guy, our good friend from Memphis.
Yeah.
The Tigers play-by-play voice. I was on with he and his partner on Monday back in Memphis, and we were talking about that same sort of concept about Josh Pastner. The former Memphis basketball coach now at Georgia Tech. You've heard his voice message, right, on his cell phone?
I have not heard the voice message.
Oh, no, I have not. If you're ever having a bad day, and you need to get coached up, and you're starting to wonder about things. My place in the – I mean, not like I've gotten an argument with my boss. I'm saying I'm questioning my spot in this universe, in this big blue marble. How am I a part of it? If you're having ultimate doubts, if there's somehow you can listen to Josh Pastner's voice message, he will coach you up, Dan. That's Bronco Mendenhall to me. He is a guy, he would lean into you and say, Dan, we got some issues here. I was going to cuss you out, but here's why I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about, in that interview, I was listening to it, recognizing the simple successes, and that wasn't just sort of an off-the-cuff answer. I mean, that obviously is a big part of his philosophy there at UVA and Brigham Young.
Yeah, so I want to actually take people behind the scenes of how we got to that. Is at our table, because we're still in the middle of COVID-19, I've got a thing of bleach wipes. So we pass the headset, want to make sure nobody's touching the same surface, all that kind of stuff. So he said we were a first-place table, really appreciate that. And I said, hey, thank you, Coach. And he said, you know what, it's the simple successes. And he started to explain the concept of simple successes. It's not the end result. It's not the beginning. It's just really just kind of looking at everything as a whole and saying, hey, that's a good thing. That went well, so let's take that for what it is and build off that. And I just thought that was really interesting. And just not only that, but just also, too, I mean, just everything that we touched on. I mean, even kind of sharing some regret from 2020.
And I was listening to you talk about the quarterbacks there with Keaton Thompson. And I was correct. I think I saw the list. It was Brennan Armstrong and Keaton both making their trip to Charlotte. Is that accurate?
Yes, so they're both here, and you know, we had a chance to catch up with Coach about Keaton Thompson, and you know, it's really rare in football, especially nowadays, because specialization is so huge, but versatility is also even better. And he's got a guy that's every bit of a utility player that he talked about, and even mentioned in the same breath with Thompson as a guy that he coached at BYU in Taysom Hill.
Oh yeah, and here's the comparison here, because Taysom Hill is this big old giant human. Keaton Thompson about 6'4", and I bet Keaton's about 220 right now. He is not this, you know, normally when you think, all right, well, slash, what are we going to do with this guy? A lot of times it's that wiry guy that, is he a slot? Is he a motion guy? Is he going to be out near the numbers? Maybe he's going to play defense in spring. You know, it's that guy. We just got to find a spot for him. I got to say, Keaton Thompson, remember Carlos Williams at Florida State?
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Williams looked like you had ordered a football player from Dr. Frankenstein, and here it came out of the lab. Now, I don't know that FSU ever really found the consistent best use for Carlos, but I always, from the first time I saw him, I was like, I know he can do something. Keaton can do that, except one of his skills is playing quarterback. He He can also run with the ball, whether he's got it from the snap or you hand it to him, he can catch it, et cetera. So just a real big option there. All right, we continue from SEC Media Days live in Birmingham, Alabama. Yesterday, able to sit down with head Bulldog Kirby Smart from the University of Georgia. Here is the interview we had with Kirby Smart, SEC Media Days 2021. Welcome back to SEC Media Days 2021. Chuck Oliver's show here live all week, also in Charlotte. ACC Media Days beginning tomorrow and Thursday. Honored to sit down with the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. It is Kirby Smart. Coach, how are you enjoying your Media Days?
Doing great, man. I'm at the very end. I'm on the caboose end. I am 5-10 minutes from cutting out of here and getting back to Athens.
Well, we're glad that you made some time for us. And I want to start with the transfer portal because you're kind of a transfer portal OG.
I don't know about that.
You were doing back in 2006 and Mo Smith and the whole thing. Talk about just the different – everything you were saying swimming upstream literally 5 minutes ago. Now it's what everybody does as far as, you know, players transferring even within conference.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't know where it's headed. I just know that there's going to be a greater gap between the haves and have-nots. You know, the teams that are at the top echelon are going to always have the best opportunity because the first time a kid goes in a portal, he wants an opportunity to go play at a bigger and brighter place, and you're going to get good players. And you're going to have players leave your program, but they're usually leaving because they're not playing. So there's going to swap there. Unfortunately, the part that's going to get affected the most is the high school athlete who doesn't get an opportunity, because for every kid we lose in game one, that's two spots, and for one kid. And so when I burn two spots on one kid, that leaves one less spot for an opportunity for a young player in the state of Georgia high school football that I want to be able to reward those guys.
And I want to ask you about that, and I'm not going to ask you to comment on another program or anything, but I had noticed like Florida State, Florida, et cetera. I mean, that's as good as recruiting as anywhere, Georgia, Texas, whatever. When you start bringing in 9, 10, 11 recruits, that, I mean, just by pure minutes spent on campus, you don't further the relationships with high school coaches and programs. I wonder about that, but I don't have to deal with it because I'm not a head coach. That has to be a concern to make sure we keep furthering those relationships, even though you're hitting the portal.
Yeah, the relationship with the high school coaches is tougher and tougher because they have less and less impact on the kids because their kids – are in a portal. Their kids come and go. You know, high school players are transient. I mean, I'll bet you over half the kids we sign now have been to one or two high schools. Sometimes they go to three. So the high school coach's relationship is not as critical now as the kid, the parent, whoever the mentor is. And that's unfortunate because my dad's a high school coach, and I value that. And I value their opinion about a kid because most of the time, the most honest opinion you get is from their coach.
You had a lot of questions about JT Daniels' health last year and the offseason, and so far I'm sure you got asked about the knee and whatever else. I want to ask about a skill set. Healthy and right and protected up front. Describe. I've never seen him play. Tell me about JT Daniels. You're telling somebody what this kid can do. What's his game at the best?
He's got a really good arm. He's got the ability to throw all parts of the field, meaning he can throw deep out cuts. A play-action game is really good for JT because he can turn his back to the defense, set up in the pocket, throws a really good deep ball. He has great timing on that ball. So his throwing is his skill set. He's improved mobility-wise from his injury. Doesn't have his knee brace on. He's able to move a little more. He's playing with more confidence. So I think the fact that he's in year kind of two of Todd Monken's system, that helps him. But more than that, the people around him help him. So he's got a lot of weapons around him that we've got to utilize their skill set to give him a chance.
All right, another kid coming back from, I mean, it was clutch the pearls. Jermaine Burton's hurt. It's like, oh, no, he's going to be okay. Yeah. He's got that dog in him. And as a wide receiver, I mean, I watched Hines Ward in Athens for 4 years. He was the, I think he was the best quarterback for 4 years. He was the best receiver. I know he was the best blocker for 4 years. I see some of that in Jermaine Burton.
Yeah, Jermaine's a good player. He's really explosive, smart, catches the ball naturally. And to come on as a freshman and be able to help the way he did, it was huge. We need him to grow and help kind of set an example for the other players and be a leader in that room. But you know, he's a talented guy, and the wideout is the position that you got to have nowadays to score points.
James Cook, it's always the same. Figure out a way. Just figure out a way. He can do a lot of stuff, and, boy, he looks like a fun player. Him at his best, integrated into the offense, what's that kind of look like?
Well, I think the day and age of the old ground and pound back, it just doesn't exist. So when you look at James and these guys that are playing in the NFL, out of the backfield, he's a good receiver. He catches the ball. He can make run after the catch. So finding ways to get him the ball. But, you know, every player on offense has to take on a little bit of a unselfish role and say, what can I do without the ball? So we're challenging James to be like, okay, when you don't have the ball, can you pass protect? Can you go block for a guy on a screen? Can you make some plays without the ball? Because every player on the team wants the ball.
Flip it around to a defense, specifically secondary, something you know a little bit about. And I was watching, like, my own eyes, a talent vacuum out of Athens. NFL, transfer, grad school, whatever it is. I'm not playing anymore. I think there's as much talent on the roster as there was last year, but secondary is different. And I've said this all the time. Secondary and O-line, it's about everybody playing together. One breakdown, whole thing goes sideways. Yep. Talk about really talented guys coming in, but they got to play together for a while.
Yeah, we had a lot of experience go out the door, not just talent. We had four DBs drafted, okay, and a fifth that probably could have been drafted in DJ Daniel that was a free agent. So five guys that are gone, that's hard to replace just the sheer volume. And we've got talented guys. Keely Ringo's a talented guy. Jalen Kimber, DK, Lewis, Chris Smith. I mean, there's going to be some battles. Amir Speed, there's going to be some good battles in all those battles. But can we have the continuity, the same page, the communication, that's going to be really important. And we may have to play a little different. You know, we're not going to play the same exact style. We had two of the longest, fastest corners to ever come out of a draft in the same draft. I may coach my whole life and never have that. But we've got some guys with some good skill sets. It's our job to make sure we're putting them in a position to be successful and let the front seven work for them.
Last guy I want to ask you about, N'Kobe Dean. And I asked you about him earlier, a couple of years ago maybe, and I asked you about his speed because that's what everybody talks about. And you're like, it ain't his speed as much as his anticipation, his smarts. He's getting to the spot before the guard or, you know, yep, whoever. Talk about who he's grown into.
Very much the same way. You know, we did some testing, and he's not off the charts as a 40 guy, but he is off the charts with intangibles, intelligence, vocal leader, sets an example. I mean, he still, when a guy pulls, he sees it faster than anybody. He anticipates it. He can cover people. He's really good in short area, which at linebacker, that's good because you're in short area a lot, and you're not having to use long speed. But he's a talented guy that we expect to have a great year, and he's a really positive leader for us.
All right. The head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart, certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hour one. 21 continues. Chuck Oliver Show live in Hoover, Alabama at SEC Media Days 2021. Of course, Dan Matthews up the road in Charlotte at ACC football kickoff. He had a chance to sit down with Miami quarterback De'Arik King a little earlier this morning.
ACC kickoff here in Charlotte, as Chuck has been telling you all day long. We are here, he is there, and we are pleased right now to be joined by the quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes. He is De'Arik King. De'Arik, appreciate it. Let's go ahead and get it out of the way. How's the knee?
It's good. You know, taking it day by day, rehabbing every single day. So I think it's pretty good. I'm on a good pace right now.
You've been through it before, too. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong with any of the details. Meniscus at U of H, that took you out in 18. Yep. And then, of course, the ACL last year. But rehab's rehab. I mean, how were you able to go through it? And what did it kind of tell you about yourself?
Man, it's tough. You know, rehabbing anything is tough. And especially rehabbing, you know, a knee. You can't walk. You're on crutches for 6 weeks. You know, you have those days where you don't want to do anything. You feel sorry for yourself. I call it, you know, the poor me's. And I'm the type of guy, I don't want to have that ever. So I wanted to attack rehab, you know, not feel sorry for myself and try to get over the hump, try to get back for this year.
Miami quarterback De'Arik King joining us here at ACC kickoff. Coming back for this season. I mean, you decide to make that decision to come back off the knee injury. But what was that process like? Okay. Who did you talk to? Was there prayer involved? What goes into that deciding I'm coming back and I'm going to give it one more go?
Yeah, I think I talked to my family a lot. So, you know, throughout the year, throughout the later part of the year, I talked to my family, my brother, my mom, and sisters, and, you know, we decided it was best for me. Talking to my coaches, you know, getting some feedback from the NFL. So I decided it's best for me to come back another year and try to, you know, have a regular season. So last year was so weird, no COVID season, no off season. You know, we had a decent season, but it wasn't my standard. It wasn't our standard. So, you know, a bunch of us decided to come back and try to make it our standard this year. So that's the goal.
Let's get into some of that personnel, because let's start with the coaching side of it first. Yeah. Rhett Lashley, somebody who obviously meant a great deal to you last year. What's another year with him mean to you?
It'd be great. A lot of people understand it's only my first time playing the same system twice, 2 years in a row. So
wow.
I had different OCs and different head coaches every single year in my career besides this year. So Coach Lashley coming back, you know, me and him being on the same page, like this offseason was totally different. It wasn't me learning a whole new offense. It was just me, you know, tweaking it and fine-tuning the offense that I was running in last year. So him coming back was a big deal. We have a great relationship.
And, I mean, you know, when it comes to offenses right now in college football, it's score as many points as fast as possible. And then a lot of people think, well, you do that in the passing game. But as the last couple of years have shown us, Alabama with Najee Harris, LSU with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you guys have a pretty good running back room. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, having those – great running backs, right? We have three really good running backs to carry the football. It takes a lot of pressure off the quarterback and off the offense. So if you can't run the ball, it's hard to win games. So, you know, running the ball is probably the most important thing to us to open up everything else. So, you know, having, you know, Cam Harris, Don Chaney, Jalen Knight all back, that's huge for us.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal. And then the receiving game as well, what you guys have there down in Coral Gables, it's got to be nice, like you said, as a quarterback. De'Arik King, again, joining us here at ACC kickoff. Dan Matthews here in Charlotte. The offensive line, too. I mean, you know, the group that doesn't necessarily get a lot of run, but I believe four out of the five starters back this year for you guys. I mean, just that continuity. What does that mean for you?
All five starters are back.
Starters are back. See, math was never my thing.
Yeah, it's all good. But I think the O-line unit is probably one of the deepest units on our team. So this year we have a true two deep, and you know, any one of those guys, 10 or 11 guys, we don't know who's starting yet, right? So all those guys could start, which is never a bad thing. You know, having a competition at the O-line position is really good. And those guys had a really good offseason so far. I'm looking forward to camp with those guys.
And that's been something, too, that all teams kind of look for. I mean, you know, because depth is irreplaceable. You can't put a price tag on that. What does that mean to you guys to be able to, like we talked about with the running back, you listed the names at O-line to be able to have guys you can cycle in? That's got to be awesome to have that on your side.
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, people can get hurt week one, week three, and just have guys to step in and, you know, not lose a beat is huge. So I think having depth is one of the, you know, the most important thing in college football nowadays. You need to have people, you know, one, two, three, even three deep, they can all play. So that's good.
A couple more for De'Arik King again here at ACC kickoff in Charlotte. Jake Garcia, you've gotten to know him a little bit over the last couple of months since he's gotten to campus. What have you seen from him, and what do you think he has going for him in his future?
He's a really good player. You know, he had a really good spring. Him and Tyler Van Dyke, they both had really good springs. I'm excited for the future. I think Miami is, you know, set a quarterback for a long time. Both of those guys competed really well, and both have really good leadership. So.
All right, so the final one I want to get you out of here on, and that is game one of the season, Atlanta, Georgia,
yeah.
The defending national champions on the other side. I mean, are you counting down to the game already? And what's that challenge like for you guys?
Yeah, I think right now we just focus on us, right? We're getting ready for camp, trying to fine-tune things we do. But, you know, like you said, playing the best team in the country, the best team in the decade, whatever you want to say. You know, Nick Saban's obviously the best coach of all time. So, you know, playing guys like that, you can't ask for anything better to open the season. You know, playing down in Atlanta, Peach Bowl Stadium, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it'll be a huge game. You know, we're excited to play in it. You know, we're going to go out there. We're going to prepare the right way all camp and go out there and, you know, give it our best week one.
Well, Derek, really appreciate your time today. A couple of Houston guys just talking.
Yep.
You can't find any brisket barbecue, I'm guessing, man, down in South Florida, can you?
Every time I go home, the first thing I do is get barbecue and water burger. Right?
You know it.
Man, the food
you
know is so good down south. But, you know, Miami has good food as well. They got Jamaican food, Cuban food, all that. But, you know, I'm from Houston, Texas, man, the best city in the world. So, barbecue is really good out there.
You heard him say it. Derek King, really appreciate your time. Best of luck this season.
Thank you.
Derek King, man, talk about a kid spinning gold in 2020, and I am really looking forward to him getting out and doing it again this season. Came back for one more year because he could, and I'm just really thrilled for the kid and the opportunities he's going to have. Hope he is healthy and at 100%, and just a good job there in Charlotte with Dan Matthews and Miami quarterback Derek King. All right, that wraps up Hour 1. Going to take a break. Come back with Hour 2 live from SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.